Haggai chapter 1, we'll begin at verse number 1. We're going to read down to verse number 7. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1. While you're turning there, let me just say again, thank you, church family, for all your kindnesses to my wife and I at Christmas, all the cards and the gifts and the baked goods. Oh, my soul. I'm going to have to fast for about 2 weeks. You see, preacher, you didn't have to eat them all. Well, you should have told me that before you give them to me. That would have been nice. But thank you. Just so many different things, cards, and just so many remembrances and thoughtfulnesses to my wife and I. And I appreciate that very much. And thank you for being so good to us at Christmas time. We do appreciate that very much. And thank you for being a blessing to us, because that's what you are. You are a blessing. And I appreciate that very much. And September the 12th is coming, so just write that down. You want to remember that. Haggai chapter 1, please, would you stand with me as we read God's word together today? I will read that to you, and then you'll read it along silently as I do, please. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Father, bless this morning, please. Direct and guide in the message today. Help us to end this new year right, so we get this year right and start the new year right. Help me this morning, Father. I know this message has been a challenge to me in preparing it. I pray now it'll be a help and a blessing to the people of God, to every soul that listens today. May we truly heed the admonition of Haggai this morning and consider our ways. Bless, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I'm going to ask now that you make sure your electronic devices are turned off or put on some kind of device that will not make noise during the service. Now listen carefully. And I want to ask you to sit still now and listen during the message very carefully. Every time someone gets up and walks out of the room, everybody has to watch them go. It's like a new thing, watching people walk. And it distracts things, and then we have to start over sort again. So help us there, please. The message will be brief this morning, as we always say, no matter how long it takes me. The important thing this morning is the two statements in Haggai chapter 1. It's in verse 5, and it's in verse 7. Consider your ways. Haggai was a prophet, along with the man, the preacher Zechariah. Israel had returned from captivity, and upon their return from 70 years of captivity, they were there in the promised land. Their city, Jerusalem, was destroyed. When the Babylonian army had taken and conquered the city, they turned over all the stones in the great wall around Jerusalem. They set the temple on fire, and there was entire rooms overlaid with gold. And it melted it, and it ran down in the cracks. So they turned over every stone of the temple to get the gold out. Devastated, completely destroyed their city, and then it set waste for 70 years. Trees growing everywhere, rubbish, burnt buildings. When the children of Israel returned from captivity, the first thing they were told to do was rebuild the temple. Not the walls, not even their own houses, but to rebuild the temple. They set out to do so, got a little tired of the labor and the work, and quit. And God sent them two preachers, Haggai and Zechariah, to preach the message. We need to finish up the house of God here. And that's what the statement is there in verse number 1. He said, my house lies waste and you're building up a house here. He says, this is not good. Haggai was the older preacher. Zechariah was the younger preacher. Haggai's book is 2 chapters long. Zechariah's is 14 chapters long. Younger preachers always preach too long. Older preachers have the wisdom to know the three S's of preaching. Stand up, speak up, shut up. And so Haggai just got to the message. But he's challenging them to get back on the program and finish the house of God and get it done. And God sends a message through Haggai to the people and says to them, consider your ways. Look at your life. Look at where you are. Look at what the situation of this land is, and consider your ways. Now, the word ways here is talking about paths or roads, well-worn paths or roads that they used to walk upon. Very simple. So when he said, consider your ways, I believe he meant for them to do three things. Number one, he meant for them to look at the past, where their path of the past had led them and where it had brought them. He said, consider the ways of your past. Look back. Look at the rubbish of the walls and the city burnt down because the people of God had turned against God. He said, consider your ways. He also meant for them to consider the path or way of their present, where they were. Look where you are, he said, in your life, and think about that. Consider your ways. And I think he also meant for them to look at the future. And I want us to take that this morning and look at our lives today. This is the last Sunday morning of 2008. If we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end 2008 like we started 2008. Just that quick, this year has gone right past us like a bolt of lightning. I believe it's what the Bible calls hasting unto the coming of the Lord. I believe the time seems to go more quickly because we're hurrying to the time of Christ's return. And we're going to be standing here saying, now this is the last Sunday of 2009. Should Jesus not return? I wish we'd quit saying the Lord tarries his return. He's not tarrying, the book of Hebrews says. He's not in heaven going now, no, now, no, now, no, now, no. He will come at exactly the right time. But if Jesus does not come back, if you and I live a normal amount of time for this next year, we're going to be standing here before you can blink an eye and be talking about the last Sunday of 2009. And it would behoove us this morning to consider our ways today. I want us to end this year right. You cannot start the right direction until you get that place, my friend. It's pretty basic, you know. You have to get where you're supposed to be. You have to be what you're supposed to get where you're supposed to be. But it takes some thought this morning. Now, I know it's the end of the Christmas season, and some of you still have after Christmas sales shopping shock. You got that deer in the headlight look, you know what I mean? You've just sort of come to the end of the conclusion of a holiday season, and most of us are not seeing beyond New Year's Day and the 82,000 football games from everything from the Rose Bowl to the Toilet Bowl. I mean, we got all the games that are coming up, and we can't see past the holiday portion of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. And we're going to stumble into 2009 not headed the right way if we're not careful. But by the way, and if we are going the right direction, it wouldn't hurt us to consider our ways and make sure that we are on the right path, assure that direction, and keep it that way. God, through Haggai, was saying, consider your ways. Dear people, look at your life. I believe he meant for them to consider the ways of their past. Can I ask you a question this morning? How was this past year for you? We met with the deacons here just recently and went over budget matters for this next year, and We have, I think, America's greatest deacons in this church. They're wonderful men. They're deacons who deek. They're servants. They don't tell the preacher what to do. They're never going to have deacons like that in this church. These men don't want that, and I won't put up with it. But they are men who serve. And one of the things they do is they serve the widows of this church. It's biblical, Acts chapter 6. This year, as we met with them, we took three of our widows off the list and put six more on just this year. How did your year go this year? We'll watch those programs where they'll have the year in a glance and you'll look back and you'll go, man, was that this year already? Was that earlier this year? The things that took place. America had an interesting 2008, yes? Every year has its memories. There's things that happen in the year that have gone past us. When he said, consider your ways, I believe he meant for Israel to look back at the well-worn path of a nation that knew God, had gotten away from God, was judged by God, and now was given a chance to make a new start. But he said, before you start new, look back and consider where you've come from. Consider your past this morning. Can I ask you a question? If you look back at 2008, was it a good year? Was it a year that you could honestly say, you know, that I saw the hand of God in my life in 2008? Now, I guarantee you this morning, if you didn't see it, it was there anyway, because that's how you got to the end of this year. Guarantee that, my friend, guaranteed. You made it through 2008, not by luck, not by chance, not by bailout, not by circumstance, not because you happened to be fortunate, not because certain things got past it or you got past certain things. You got to the end of 2008 because the hand of Almighty God rested upon your life and you made it to the end of this year. Now, when you look back at 2008, is that what you see? When you look back at 2008, do you just see valleys? Is that all? Several of us made trips to cemeteries this year we did not anticipate. Never thought we would see. The day of our daughter Bethany was to give birth, we went to the cemetery because this grave marker was set on that little baby's grave. Instead of her going to the hospital, we made a trip to the cemetery. But our family wasn't the only one that made trips to cemeteries this year. When you look back at 2008, is that what we see? Do we see a job lost? Do we see a struggling economy? Financial upheaval? Unrest? Difficulties? Changes? We look back at our path. When we consider our way of the past, what do you see? For every broken heart, I guarantee you, you saw the hand of God come and do the healing work that only the grace of God can do. Broken hearts, broken lives, struggles, failures. Is that what you see? Or do you look back at 2008 and also see that for every failure there was at least one success? Because nobody lives a constant life of failure. I don't care what they tell you. What was it this year? Now look at me. We either just brush it off like America does. We get in a situation of difficulty or trouble or trial. Boy, we're so quick to pump up our pride and our arrogance and our self-reliance. We're so quick to stand up and say, we're Americans, we can deal with anything. And we are Americans, and we can deal with just about anything on this planet. However, we do so by the grace of God, and we do so by the help of God in our lives. And for every struggle you had, I guarantee you there was a hand of God to help you through that struggle. If God was the first thing in your life, the first person in your life, and His direction was what you were seeking in your life. Otherwise, you better be lucky. Otherwise, you better hope for a better day. Someone once said that hope is what the world does, whereas for the Christian, hope is something the Christian has. There is a difference, is there not? What do you look back at 2008 and see the key differences between the good and the bad of this past year, and whether or not we did right, whether or not we obeyed God? Well, Pastor, if you do right and you obey God, you shouldn't have to go to a cemetery. If you do right and obey God, you shouldn't get cancer. If you do right and obey God, you shouldn't lose your job. If you do right and obey God, you should be blessed and everything should just be good all the time. You do not understand God's plan. You do not understand the work of God. That's not how it works. He puts the bitter in to make the sweet sweeter. He puts the valley in to make the mountain higher. He puts the dark night in to make the glory of His morning shine in our lives and in our souls. And if it was all just peace and serenity and no problems, we would never appreciate the good and the blessings of God in our lives. Don't pray and ask for trouble for 2009. There's already enough in it. The Bible said sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough stuff coming up for 2009. And I'm not trying to get a gloom and doom projection this morning. I'm not trying to get you to feel like we're under some kind of a cloud, as it were. And oh boy, it's just nothing but trouble coming, Pastor Johnson. I'll tell you what, friend. The problems I had this past year of 2008, there were heartbreaks and there were setbacks and there were valleys and there were midnight hours and there was tossing and turning and there was tears that were shed and there were failures and all the things that took place this past year, right up next to every one of them, there was grace and there was mercy and there was help and there was strength and there was sustaining and working in my life from the hand of an almighty God that reached down and touched this sinner's soul and helped me. And He did the same for you too, if you're in the will of God and doing the right thing today. We in 2008, my friend, as America, still a nation with liberties and freedoms. I believe they've become more restricted. But still, I believe one of the freest nations on this planet, if not the most free nation on this earth. Now listen to me. If you consider the way of your past, did you learn something from this stuff? A lot of times people just have things happen in their life, and it's like my grandmother used to use an old Okie expression. All my people from Oklahoma use an old Okie expression, like bulls in a china closet. They just go stumbling on through life like nothing happened. Oh, yeah, that was terrible. Did you look at it? Did you break it down and take a look at it and see what that was? Did you learn something from it? He didn't say, consider your ways, Israel, and just go on and rebuild the temple. He said, consider your ways. Don't you realize how we got where we were? This is why our nation is the way it is. Look at it. Now, did you learn something from it? Because otherwise, look at me. We just keep repeating the same stuff in our lives because we don't learn the lessons. I don't know how many different historians the statement is attributed to, so I won't bother trying to bring up one name. But someone has once said, they that are refuse to learn from history are doomed to relive it. What did we see when we looked at the path of 2008? Did we learn something from it? Look at me. Did you put those things in the past that belong there where they're supposed to be? The great apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can't press into a new year nor reach forth in the present till you do something about that past, and you need to put it behind you. Now, friend, look at me. If you have not done this yet in your life, would you take 2008 and put a depository thing, a stamp on that, and just leave it and let it go? Put it behind you. Quit dragging the stuff of your life around like a dead corpse and expect to have a good life because we're moaning and groaning about what happened last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Bury the past. That's where it's supposed to be. That's where it should stay. Leave the past in the past. Consider your ways. Consider the ways of the past. Number two, consider the ways of the present. Where are you? Where are you with God right now? Well, Pastor, you know, that's an important question. But see, I've got to take care. No, see, that's our problem. Our priority is life first, God second. I have to take care of this first, and I have to take care of that first, and it's the end of the year, and I've got tax issues, and I've got these issues, and I've got these financial matters, and I've got this thing, and I've got that thing, and I know I need to get things right with the Lord, but see, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. See, we put God at the bottom of the list and wonder why our priorities are never right, and why we can't get the things of life done. Look here, friend, look at me. You're teaching the devil that if all he has to do is just keep something in front of you and you'll put that over God every time in your life, guess what happens? He'll put something in front of you for the rest of the days of your life. It'll always be, look at me, it'll always be something. Holiday season, Thanksgiving comes, the world goes brain dead between Thanksgiving and New Year. Knock off a whole month and a half of the year. Gone, just gone. Because after all, it's Thanksgiving. After all, it's Christmas. After all, it's New Year's. The same people are going to be saying, after all, it's Easter. After all, it's summertime. And then saying, nope, the year is gone. See, we have to take a good consideration, my dear friend, of our present. How is it with you and God right now, today? God forbid you slump over in that chair and draw your last breath. Your face is going to be facing the creator of the universe, not U.S. Bank. You are going to be looking at the face of Almighty God, not Hollywood. You are going to be facing the God of heaven. Now that means, my friend, you need to consider the way of your path. Right now, where you are, is it right with you and God? Is it good here? And if it's not, can I ask you a question? When is it going to get that way? Well, you don't understand how my life is, Pastor Johnson. No, I understand how my life is. Doesn't it sound funny that a preacher would say, sometimes I get so busy in the ministry, I don't have time for God? But it's true. Well, I have to fight it. I have to fight to make time with my God. So if that's how it is for somebody who works for him, imagine how it must be in the average person's life. And how easy it is we can just settle for it. Say, what do you want? I'm in church this morning. Fine, good. The chairs are here too. Showing up, ladies and gentlemen, there are flies around here somewhere. I mean, there's stuff in this room that just showed up. That doesn't mean anything. And it's good that you're in church. And I'm thankful that you're finishing 2008 in the right place. The house of God, where you should be. But wait a minute. Enough of what is, what was and what would be and what is going to be one of these days. How about it this morning? Have you considered the way of the present? Are you, friend, look at me. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ as your Savior? And are you certain? That's something I should take care of this year, huh? Young man said in my office one day, about 27, 28 years of age. He said, Pastor, I have four questions I need to ask you this morning, please. I said, okay, go ahead. He goes, question number one. He goes, can you tell me how I can know who I am supposed to marry? I said, a woman. Number two. Some people you have to explain everything to. Number two, he said, how can I know for sure that I'm in the will of God? He said, number three, I need to know about what kind of future I should have, what kind of job maybe I should pursue. And number four, I need to know for sure if I'm saved. I said, okay, number one, let's take number four and put it at the top of the list. I said, you got that at the bottom list. How did that one ever get to number four and not become number one? He said, well, I mean, I realize I need to take care of that someday. I said, no, sir. You need to take care of it right now before you get up and walk out of my office. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. This watered-down sissy gospel we've got nowadays that has no repentance, no hell in it, no need of salvation, no urgency. You know, Jesus' message to Nicodemus was, ye must be born again. He didn't make it optional. He said, you need to settle this in your life. You must be born again. I said, young man, that's your number one decision today. All the rest of that stuff will come. That one you've got to take care of right now. And went to the plan of salvation with him, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. No, that's not a someday thing. That's a today thing. Consider your ways, friend, right now where you are. Is it right? Are you saved? Okay, say good. Pastor Johnson, I'm saved and I know it. Wonderful. Fantastic. Now, next question obviously is this. Are you right with God? You in his will? Are you doing what the God of this heaven put you on this earth to do? Or are you still just kind of wandering through life trying to figure it all out? See, look here. The will of God is a very simple thing, actually. It is complex in the way God has designed it, but that's his design, not my concern. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I get in his will and I love him. He'll put all the things together. But if you're not doing the will of God for your life, friend, consider your ways. How are we going to get where we're supposed to be? Okay, one more time. Here's what we do. We want to reach over into the will of God, and we want to pull out those parts that we want. Everybody wants a good life, happy life, right? That's in the will of God. I want that, but I don't have to do the other stuff I'm supposed to do to get there, but just give me that part. Single person. I want to marry the right person, so I just want to reach in there and pull out that right person right out of the will of God. Now, I don't want to do anything to get to that right person. I don't want to be right when I get to the right person, and I don't want to be concerned about messing up the right person when I get there. I just want the right person. That's all I want, and we want to reach in the will of God. We want to pull out the happiness and the joy. We want to pull out the blessing and the encouragement. We want to pull out all the good stuff out of the will of God, but when it comes to doing the things that are necessary to get to the will of God, that part we're not too interested in. Consider your ways, friend, to listen. If you're saved and you know Christ is your Savior, the steps of obedience to the Word of God and following God's Word is what gets you to the will of God. As a matter of fact, that is the will of God. And the parts for you that are not written in the Bible, He will reveal to you as you do what the Bible tells you to do. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and His word is like a candle as you walk down a dark path at night. It will illuminate you just enough for your next step and show you just enough to let you know you're on the right path, and that's all you need. And you just take the next step in obedience to His word, and you get there. Pretty simple. Consider your ways. Where are you right now in this thing now, friend? Is there a decision you know you need to make? I mean, a simple step of obedience. I'm talking something as simple as being baptized. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is an answer of a good conscience toward God. It's a simple step of obedience. It takes place one time after salvation. It is done by immersion only in a proper means and manner. That's a simple step of obedience. Needs to be done. Are you a member of a good local independent fundamental soul winning separated King James Bible preaching Hellfire and Damnation Baptist Church? Say, what is that? This is where you are right now. Are you a member of a good local visible assembly of blood washed, water baptized, Bible believing people? Fascinating how we don't need the church till we need money, till we need help, till we need stuff. No, it's there for you. Those are simple things. Then once you get in there, how about participating in that place and being a part of what they're doing there? Look at me, friend. There is. Have you considered your present path, the way of the life right now? Consider your ways. Consider your ways, of course, refers to looking at the future. But where are you going? What do you have planned to do for God for this next year? Do you have a plan of any kind? Tragedy of tragedies is that most people live their life day by day. Just day by day. And I don't mean you take it 24 hours at a time because that's what you're supposed to do. I mean they just live it according to, you know, the day. So what are you going to do today? I don't know. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. But what's the plan? Don't have one. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's not thrilling and exciting to talk about it, but the truth is you need to get a schedule for your time and a budget for your money. And stop living by the moment. Just letting it run you over and run you down. We wonder why life is overtaking us and life is running us down, and then we live that way. Tomorrow something happens, we have no idea. We had no plan for the day. None whatsoever. The truth of the matter is, friend, do you have a plan to do something for God with your life this year? Married people, do you have a plan to make your marriage a better marriage this next year? Or do you just plan on doing that endure to the end so the same can be saved thing? You know, I just plan on staying married. Wonderful concept. There is another step to that now. How about be married and actually enjoy that? Marriage is enjoyable. Two happily married men in this room. Marriage is enjoyable. Poke them, ladies. Poke them. Wake them up now. This was your moment to shine and you just blew it, pal. It is a wonderful thing. Marriage is honorable in all, the Bible says, and the better than the father. It's a great thing. It's also the worst relationship you'll ever get yourself in life if it's not right. But is there a plan for that? But what about that? Well, I plan on going to work and, you know, paying the bills. Oh, so you're a financial advisor, not a husband. Well, I'm going to cook the food and wash the clothes. What does he want from me? Oh, so you're a maid. Not a wife. But what is the plan? What is the plan for your family this year? Do you plan on doing things with your family this year? Do you have a family plan? Is there something you intend to do with the family God has given you? That good families are not an accident. They don't just happen. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Do you have a plan to get involved here at church, to do something here to help your church be a better church? A good church is a good church because good people get involved to make it a good church. How it works. Most of you Sunday morning folks, you have no idea what goes on all around you all week long for this church to do what it does. People just laboring, working, doing the things that they're supposed to do. It's amazing. I'll say it one more time. I wish the government would come and ask us how we do what we do on the budget that we have. And again, I'll tell you exactly what we do. We'd fire 80% of them. But the truth is, and the other 20% we'd hang. But the truth is, no, we wouldn't hang them. We would shoot them. Hanging is too messy. The truth is, we need to realize that our future, ladies and gentlemen, that's probably going to get me in jail. It's on the internet. How you doing? Homeland Security. My name is Mark Evans. The truth of the matter is, Hey, he's out of town. I can shoot at him all I want to. Call me and I'll give you my address too. I got that. See, we say, oh, I'm gonna have a better life, but no plan to get there. Better life is just a foolish statement made by someone who doesn't have the character to make a plan to get to that life. Good churches aren't good churches by accident. They're good churches because good people get in, roll up the shirt sleeves, and get it done. And that's what happens in this church week in, week out for 25 plus years. See, there's a reason for that. Please stop the idea of you show up and church is here for you. It is here for you. But you also ought to be here for it. See, there's this thing about our lives. We consider our ways. Are we going to look here now? When your life is just about you and your little situation, you live in a very small and very cynical world, don't you? Because it's just about you. And what you get, what you have, what you don't have, yada, yada, all that kind of stuff. Well, you get outside that bubble, friend, and you start doing something to do something to improve somebody else's life for the good by the word of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's rich stuff there. It's 2008 this morning. Just a few more days. And then we'll start writing 2008 in our checks probably till about July. And we're going to turn around and it'll be 114 outside. And we'll say, where in the world did the first half of this year go? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.